Glory to God. We're in the last days. Glory to God. You know, on Monday night, no, Monday night. No, it's not Monday night. When was our first night? Friday night. Friday night, I shared a short little story about how that a dear heart friend of mine who used to be over the prayer program at Rhema, she told me this past year, she was preaching in a church, and they began to tell her a story that happened in the service. And the team was up worshiping the Lord, and the drummer was a teenager, a young kid, you know, and he was drumming, you know, and the way that the platform was set up, the lights kind of shined through the these kind of lights, you know, and so it shined up through his drum, and while he was drumming, he looked down on his skin of his drum, and there was some zigzaggedy looking lines, and he looked at it, and he thought, what in the world is that? And the worship is still going, but he said he was so caught up trying to figure out what is going on, what is that? And he said at the end of the set, when they got finished worshiping, he sat there for a moment, grabbed a piece of paper, and he traced the zigzaggedy lines that were on it. And the moment that he traced them, they disappeared on his drum. So at the end of the service, he went up to the pastor's wife, and he asked her, he said, do you know what this is? And she looked at him and said, where did you get this? And he said, well, this is what happened. While we were worshiping, I saw all of a sudden there was these lines all over my skin of my drum. And I was like, what is that? So at the end of it, I traced it, and then it disappeared. She said, I don't know what it says, but I know that it's Hebrew. And she said, I'm in school taking a night class. I'm going to go ask my professor what it says. So she took it to the professor, and he said the same thing that she said, where did you get this? And then she began to tell him the whole story. And she said, what is it saying? Does it say something? And he said, it says, my return is imminent. Guys, what, hon? Yeah, but my return is imminent. What does imminent mean? About to happen. How that it's about to take place. Jesus is getting ready to come back, and he's coming after his church. He's come. I can't wait to hear that trumpet sound. Especially now that my daddy's in heaven and he went in August, I cannot wait to get to heaven even more now, because I want to be with him. I don't know how many of you've got loved ones that have went to heaven already. I can't wait for that day. So then I would say to us in the church, those of us that can't wait, I would say, let's get after it in prayer. Let's pray out the plan of God, and let's get after what he's ordained us to do in the earth, because so many people think that we're waiting on Jesus to come back, and he's waiting on us to do our job. He's waiting on us to reap the harvest, get out there and do his plan and do his purpose. You know, I many times am like, Lord, come on, let's get it on, let's go. And then I'll get in my heart and begin to pray, and then begin to see how that there's much that needs to be done in the earth, but quickly he's coming. Did you know that things in the spirit, I mean, the timing of God and the timing that's in this natural realm are not the same? And how many of you have ever experienced something in your life where you've been believing God for something, or you've been standing in faith for about something, and sometimes it seems like it takes forever for it to come, and then sometimes it just happens? Guys, I'm telling you, the timing of things. You know, there's so many things that I could say this morning, but I want to make sure that I'm going after all that we're supposed to do. I want to tag on to all that we did here this weekend. Because this weekend we've been talking about how that you know the Spirit of God. We've been talking about how that in every type of prayer that you pray, you must pray from the position that you know him. And you always need to pray from the word, according to what the word says. In 1 John chapter 5, this is the confidence that I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, his word, he hears me. And if I know he hears me, then I get the petitions, or I get what I've asked for. Amen? So thank God, in every type of prayer that I pray, there are many types of prayer. We talked about how Brother Hagin has a prayer study guide, and you need to get that prayer study guide. We used to take it on the road with us. but we don't have them with us this time. But maybe you guys have them in your bookstore. You can get online and get them. The prayer study guide. And in that prayer study guide, there's like 9 different types of prayer that Brother Hagin breaks down that he found in the Word. And in every type of these, in every single one of these prayers, you might say, well, what are these prayers? The prayer of thanksgiving and worship. The prayer of corporate prayer, praying in the name of Jesus, the prayer of intercession, you know, the prayer of agreement, and it goes on. So there's many different prayers that we can pray, and in every type of prayer that we pray, we need to make sure that we're praying from a position that I know God. How many of you have been in a relationship and you didn't feel like you knew the person? Am I the only one? And how many of you have had relationships that you're so close, you know what the person's going to say? I've become so close to my husband. I now know how to say things in a way to get what I want. Are you with me? Hi, honey. And he's learned how to say things and do things to get what he wants. Because we know each other. You know? When you know somebody, you know them. You know, Brother Hagin, you know, he used to talk about how that it seemed like some people wouldn't even know the Holy Spirit if he walked down the aisle with the red hat on or whatever he'd say, you know, polka dotted outfit on. He says most people wouldn't even know him. And you know that's the truth? It's because we're living way below who we are in Christ. The Bible says here in John chapter 14, let's look at that verse real quick. John chapter 14, verse 17. It's a scripture that we need to live by and operate confidently from all the time. Because you know, I don't know about you, I got some flesh. And my flesh can make me feel like I don't know nothing. Sometimes it'll make me feel like, oh, everybody knows more than I know. God, I don't know your voice. I can't hear you. I can't follow you. I don't even know what you're saying. I think it's the devil telling me to do some things. I don't know what. I can't tell the difference. And you know what? You would think, well, being in Word of Faith churches, well, everybody knows how to hear the voice of God. Everybody. No, 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 no. We've learned how to look like we got it all together is what we've done. We've learned to carry ourselves in such a way, you know what I'm saying? But the only way we're gonna operate out of who we are in Christ is when we get in the Word and let the Word get in us and let it become our reality. I learned a long time ago that the Word has to be my reality. Not what I see in this natural realm, not what I feel in my physical body or what I feel in my soul or think in my mind. If it's not lining up with what the Word says, then I need to shut that puppy down. Do you know what I mean? And we've got to make sure that our mouth lines up with what the Word says, even, and you guys know this, you're a faith church. We've got to make sure that we line our mouth up to what the Word says all the time. You know, yes, we're in a new generation and God is doing some awesome, wonderful things in this hour. But the basics of the ABCs of the Word of God are never going to change. You might want to you could maybe deliver it in a different way as long as the integrity of the Word is there and people are recognizing that you've got to speak the Word. Jesus said it in Mark chapter 11. Can you tell I'm not a teacher? I'm a preacher, all right? So I'm going to go all over the place and in God will, Holy Ghost always puts a bow on the end. It'd be a package you'll enjoy, all right? By faith, I say. And so anyway, no, I'm joking with you guys. Are you guys awake this morning? In Mark chapter 11, we have the verse that we all think Brother Hagin wrote, but he didn't. It's in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23, 24, and 25. Notice Jesus said, have faith in God. Did you know? You know why I think why Jesus said that to Peter? I believe it with all my heart that when Jesus was walking down the road and he saw that fig tree afar, he was hungry. And I know a lot of men, especially some in my family, Not so much my husband, but my dad, my brother, and nephews. When they get hungry, you better put food in their belly, because they're not pleasant to be with. They'll control it, but then there's a, gotta have me something, you know? And I'm sure no man in the house is like that, right? Okay, you're laughing, so probably you. And I really believe that Jesus was like, gonna get me some figs. And he got up to that tree, and they didn't, and the figs were not there. And so what did he do? He cursed that tree. He was hungry. He was hungry. And so he cursed that tree, and he said, nobody's ever gonna eat from you ever again. He cursed it. He killed it. And then in that same passage there in Mark chapter 11, it actually says that when he cursed it, that the disciples heard him say it. They heard him. And then they kept walking on by and went into the town, did business. The following morning, they come back. As they're walking by, Peter, I just love Peter. Peter come walking by with the others, and he looks over and he sees the tree. And they're just walking, and Peter goes, hey! And of course, this is my paraphrasing. He goes, hey, master, look at the tree. The tree that you cursed. Wow, it's really dead. And then Jesus, it said in Scripture 22 of Mark 11, said that, have faith in God. I think Jesus was not trying to say, oh, honey, have faith in God. I think that he was going, are you kidding me? I've been with you this long. You heard me speak to it yesterday. Just because you didn't see it with your eye, you thought it didn't take place? How long am I going to have to be with you? Have faith in God. Brother Hagin used to teach you to have the God kind. You've got the God kind of faith. And then Jesus was trying to tell him, listen, you can speak to the mountain. You can say to the mountain, and that mountain will obey you. I don't know about you, but I've had mountains in my life. I'm believing God right now for some things, and the words that I speak is what's going to take place in my life. I believe that even when Jesus was telling him, have faith in God, you speak to the mountain. I think Jesus was even, this is me, but I believe that he was going all the way back to the beginning. Are you kidding me? We created you like us. In the beginning, God spoke, and everything was created. God, in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him in spirit must worship him in spirit and truth. And then over in Genesis chapter 1, in verses 25 through 27, it talks about how God made us like him. God made us like him. Made in his image, made in his likeness. We've been made like him. I really believe that over in Mark, that Jesus, when he was saying, have faith in God, you speak to the mountain. We made you just like us. You're a speaking spirit. You have the right to speak. You have the right to say. We made you like us. So go ahead and work it. Do you think I'm nuts to look at it like that? But that's just how I see it. Maybe I'm interpreting it through my own personality that can be a little spunky at times. But I really see that that's how it is. God wants us to speak and declare his truth. And in every prayer, of any type of prayer that we pray, we need to pray from this position of faith. And we need to pray from the position of John chapter 14, verse 17. Now let's look at that. You thought I forgot? You forgot? You thought I forgot, didn't you? I didn't. All right, you guys having fun today? Supposed to have fun in church, you know. You know, God's got a personality, you know. And he's got a funny personality. He is a funny guy. You look around this room, if you can't tell me he's got a personality, something wrong with you. Look at all these personalities in this church. I mean, come on now. He's fun. He's funny. He's fun. Oh, you know, okay, I'm going to tell you something. You know, I was in prayer school one day, and the Spirit of God said, lay hands on everybody in the house. And so everybody stood up, came on down. The anointing was real strong. Pentecostal whole, you know, music was going, you know, made you just want to shout and run. Whether you felt like it or not, you just had to jig, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, but the anointing was so strong. And I stepped down to lay hands on some people, and the anointing was so strong, they just all fell out laughing, drunk in the spirit, and just having a good time in God. And then the ushers were having to kind of pull them back up because we had so many more that we needed to lay hands on. And as I stood back, as they were lining more people up, I was just praying in the spirit, and I heard the Lord say to me, he goes, Leanne, you want to see what I'm going to do to that guy right there? I go, huh? And then I'm thinking Fruit Loops, you know, what did I eat for breakfast, lunch? What, I mean, and he said it again. He goes, you want to see what I'm going to do to that guy right there? I was like, yeah, what are you going to do? He said, you watch it. When you lay hands on him, he's not going to fall back. He's going to spin down the aisle and then fall out. And I was like, are you kidding me? I just laughed. And boy, when they got the line set up, man, I couldn't wait to get to that man. I stepped down off the platform. I laid my hand on the man, and I'm not kidding you. He didn't fall down. He went up and then spun down the aisle like a tornado. I wish we could have videoed it. And then he fell out. You can't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. Oh, no. He likes to play. He likes for us to stay on full and to be full of the Spirit. Amen? Don't you just love him? Look at this in John chapter 14, verse 17. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's read 16, okay? And I will pray the Father. Now, this is Jesus talking before he died. He said, I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. How long is forever, guys? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. Now notice in verse 17, the Spirit of truth. Who is the Spirit of truth? The Spirit of truth is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, the Holy One, the Comforter, the Helper, the Standby, the Intercessor, amen? He's the greater one that lives in us, amen? Aren't you glad you have the greater one? Now there's much I could preach about this verse, but we've already done that on Friday night and we did it on yesterday morning. So listen to it so that you'll get the full impact of what's getting ready to take place here. Now here in the scripture where it says that you know him, I got revelation on that in a service in prayer school on campus years ago. And I tell you why, I begin ever since the moment that I got revelation. How many ever gotten revelation of a scripture? You know how it happens. You might have read the verse 500 trillion times. Are you with me? But then all of a sudden the light comes on. And you see it for what it's saying. And you're like, are you kidding me? I have read that verse my whole life. And now I'm finally getting it. And this happened to this verse with me. That when Jesus said that I know the Holy Spirit, I didn't feel like I did. I felt inadequate in life. I felt inadequate in ministry. And I didn't feel that I knew him. And then he got after me. And when he got after me, I began to confess the word and began to speak. Holy Ghost, I know you. Jesus said, I know you. And because he said it, I believe it, I know you. And I begin to confess that and begin to declare it in my life. And I didn't just do it a few times. See, what happens is we'll say something one time and then we'll think of it, you know, again, and we'll say it again, but we don't put our heart into it. Are you with me? And the more that I just kept speaking it out of my heart in my personal time with the Lord, the more real John 14, 17 became to me. How that I do know him because I know him, I hear him, I see him, I follow him, I flow with him, I know him. And so I begin to confess that in such a way to where all of a sudden I begin to see and know things of the Spirit. You know, over in Ephesians chapter 1, turn there with me real quick. Thank God for the word, amen? Oh, what would we do without the word? He'd have to do something else to help us. You know what I'm saying? We got the word, glory to God. And we have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us. Now, we all know that in Ephesians, there's two prayers that we need to be praying over our lives. How many of you know it's best to pray the word? Amen? You get results that way. Here in verse 17, it says, excuse me, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, Paul's praying for the church in Ephesus. And then this is a prayer that we pray all the time for our own lives. And it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. How many of you could handle more wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him? And then he goes on, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what the hope of your calling is. Now, guys, think for a moment. You know the story over, I believe it's in 1 Kings chapter 6, and it talks about Elisha. And it talks about how that he had a servant that was with him, and the servant woke up early one morning, and when he went outside, he saw all the king's horses and all the king's men, and he freaked out and he ran inside and woke Elisha up and said, "Master, what are we gonna do? We're surrounded, we're surrounded." And in the scripture, all that it says is that Elisha said, "Fear not, for those that be with us are far more than those that be with them." Did you notice, how, as you've ever studied or read that, how that it doesn't even say that Elisha got out of bed to look out the window to see what the servant was talking about. That Elisha was living from a place of seeing God bigger than this natural realm. He saw God bigger than every circumstance, every situation. But his servant wasn't seeing it. They both had physical eyes, lived in a physical, natural realm, but the servant was not seeing what Elisha saw. But there's something that Elisha did for the servant. He prayed for him. And he prayed, "Father, open his eyes that he may see." And then it said, he saw. And all of a sudden, though he was seeing things in the natural, all of a sudden his spiritual eyes were opened. And he saw. When we get in the word, revelation will come from the word. And that revelation will cause our natural physical eyes to be put or to be brought to a stilled place so that our spiritual eyes, boom, open and we see. And guess how we're supposed to live? With seeing things spiritually through the word. We are supposed to be walking as children of the light and seeing clear. It doesn't matter how old, you know, Pastor Sarah and I were talking a little bit about this yesterday. It doesn't matter how old you are in the Lord, you can still not be a mature believer. It doesn't matter how old we are. What matters is that we're going after this and we're realizing, Brother Hagin said, the more I get to know God, the more I realize I don't know. And that should make you want to keep digging into God. If you've come to a stagnant place in your walk in relationship with God and you're not continuing to grow, it's nobody's fault. I'll be nice, but our own. God wants us to experience him. You'll never come to the end of who he is. And so if your relationship has become dull, it's not his fault, it's our fault. And so some things that we can do is pray what the word says. I found out a long time ago that if I begin to speak what the word says, begin to speak things out of my mouth, it begins to manifest. I told you my dad went to heaven in August. And he decided he wanted to go. And he'd been healed of so many different things, and we were going after things in faith, but he decided he wanted to go to heaven. And so I even told him, he looked at me at the kitchen table and I said, Dad, I'll release you, because see, my faith was on him. I said, I'll release you if you really want to go to heaven right now. He looked over at me, because he knew I was holding him. And he looked at me and he said, honey, I want to go to heaven. It's time. And I go, are you sure, Dad? He goes, baby, I want to go. I go, all right. Then I release you, and I know the family will release you to go on. I said, don't you want to be here with us? He goes, of course I want to be here with you guys. But you guys are all coming after me. He goes, it's time. Well, I mean, it wasn't less than a week. He went to heaven. But then you know what it's like. Then you got to start dealing with him not being there. My dad was a big mouth, laughed all the time, carried on. I mean, if he was here right now, he'd be asking Pastor Sarah if he could preach. That's just his personality. He would walk right. I mean, when I was thinking about going to Rhema in the summer of 84, we went to camp meeting. And my dad walked up to Brother Hagin, did not know him, and said, my daughter's coming to your school and you better take care of her. Brother Hagin, I remember going, and Brother Hagin just looked at him and kind of smiled and said, turned around and walked away. But my dad is just really outgoing and loud and everything, you know, so I'm sure he's got all kinds of stuff going on in heaven. But, you know, the holidays came. Whew. And, you know, different siblings, different ones were grieving and stuff, and we made a decision, we can do all things through Christ, and we're speaking, but some are a little stronger than others in their word level and what they're speaking and saying. I remember in our dining room, we got this gigantic picture of Dad. And I was standing there in the dining room, and I was looking at Dad, and I said, Lord, I feel kind of bad that I'm not crying and grieving like some others. What's wrong with me? Is something wrong with me? And he goes, Leanne, what have you been speaking? I go, what do you mean? What have I been? I go, you know what I've been saying? The moment Dad said he wanted to go to heaven, and especially when he stepped over, I started speaking out of my mouth. Dad is happy, so I'm happy. Dad is so happy that there is no reason that I'm going to sit around and cry and grieve. I'm happy. I'm happy. He's happy, and we're going to be together. He's in my future, and it's not going to be long to where we're going to be with each other throughout eternity. And so I'm going to keep doing kingdom business. I'm going to do what he's taught me to do, and I'm going to be happy. And you know, I've said it so much to where the Lord had to remind me, don't you remember what you've been saying? And then I started laughing. Looking right at a big old picture of my dad. I mean, it's huge. It's almost bigger than the wall. And I'm looking at that picture, and I'm just like, I can look at it and be happy, remember everything, and know he's still alive, he's still living, and I'm going to be with him. He's happy, not sad, and to him, he probably's only been there a few minutes. And for us, it's been 7 months. But my world is different than some of my family members, because I've been speaking about it according to what I believe in God. Guys, our reality should be Him, God, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Are you with me? It's time that our eyes begin to see eternal. But how does that happen? We can look at what Moses did. was it Moses? No, wait a minute. Elisha. Elisha in 1 Kings. What did Elisha do? He prayed so that his servant could see. Notice what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1. He said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, which means that we're walking around in the dark. You know, you can be a believer and still not see things clear. You can have been in church all your life and still not see things according to the word. That's why we need to pray these prayers and pray that our eyes would be enlightened so that we're not just seen by this natural realm. God wants us to go further than what is in this realm that we live in. He wants us to live out of the abundance of heaven. But how do we cause that to happen? By speaking what the word says and praying that the eyes of our understanding be flooded with light. In John, as we've been studying and talking about it in John chapter 14, guys, verse 17, the moment I got revelation that I know the Holy Ghost, I know him. I confessed it so much to where I just believe it. I even told Brother Hagin. I said, Dad, if you told me I didn't know the Holy Ghost, I'd have to tell you I don't believe you because the word says I do. And he looked up at me and laughed and smiled. He goes, uh-huh. He wasn't a man of many words. Unless, I'll tell you a story. Mom and Dad Hagin was wanting Kentucky Fried Chicken. And so me and Regina, she used to sing in the group too, the Rhema Singers, we went and got them Kentucky Fried Chicken, took it over to their house. Dad greeted us in his PJs and his hair swiped over, you know. And we went inside and we put the food on the table and they wanted us to get food to eat with them. We're sitting there and we're eating Kentucky Fried Chicken. And it was quiet at the table. And I get nervous when it gets quiet. Anybody like that? There's got to be some type of conversation go on. Talk about the birds, talk about whatever you need to, but let there be conversation, amen. And so we're sitting there at the table and I'm sitting, Dad's at one end, I'm at the other end, Mom's here and Regina's here. It's quiet as can be. Now, Regina had been in the group a lot longer than me, and so I'm thinking she's going to start conversation. So I'm eating, and I'm looking at her thinking, okay, come on. Yeah. She ain't saying nothing. She's just eating her mashed potatoes with gravy. And so I can't remember. I'll start talking about something, won't even know what I'm talking about just to get something happening. I can't even tell you what I started talking about. And so I started talking. Next thing I know, because Mom Hagin's a talker, and so she started talking about what I was talking about. Next thing you know, we're talking about old time Pentecost. So we're talking about how back in the day, and my grandmother would tell stories about how the Pentecostal ladies, they would all have one dress, and they would all make their dresses, and they all looked exactly alike. They were black, and they were up to here, and down to the floor. And so we're talking about how times have changed and stuff, and we're talking about old stories and stuff, and Mom would tell me stuff, and we'd laugh and stuff, and Regina and Dad Hagin were just sitting there eating. Well, then I started telling Pentecostal stories from my past, of my upbringing, you know. And all of a sudden, Brother Hagin put his chicken down. And he's looking at me. I knew I had hit something that he now wanted the floor. And so I quit talking. And I mean, I told him, I had finished the end of my story. He started up one. And he started telling a story back in 1942. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, I wasn't born there, and hallelujah. But he began to tell me stories, all of us, you know. And then when he took a breath, I thought, I'm going to top his or try to. And so I told a story because, man, Pentecostal folk, you know, we got some stories of crazy things that happen in your church, you know. And so I told him a story. And you could tell he didn't even pick up his chicken. He listened to me. And you could tell, okay, honey, get none because I want to take it from here. You know, because he was always real competitive, you know, and stuff. And when you got his interest, man, he'd talk. Am I right, Pastor Sarah? Oh, yeah. And if he didn't want to talk about whatever, he'd just sit there and be quiet. So anyway, why I told you that story, I have no earthly idea. But I was talking about, what was I talking about? Now, come on, Pastor Greg. You know what I was talking about. Come on. I was talking about Kentucky. He's hungry. All he can remember is Kentucky Fried, original crispy, all right? So anyway, what in the world was I talking about? Huh? My dad. Thank you, sir. And so, you know, my dad, you know, he, with his personality and everything and stuff, you know, and what he placed in us, and I mean, so much truth and everything and everything and everything, and I'm still not really knowing where my point is. Hallelujah. Everybody, let's just lift our hands and worship God. No, I'm kidding. Anybody who was here this weekend, you know why I just said that. You want to come down and preach for me? I'm all right, guys. I think we ought to have fun in God in church. Amen? But it's so important that we speak the word so that the reality of heaven becomes our natural reality. The reality that my dad was in heaven and is in heaven came to me, and I was able to live grief-free because I kept speaking what I believed. And when you speak what the word says, it will begin to manifest in your life. So I begin to speak John 14:17. The spirit of truth the world doesn't see or know, but I know him. So Holy Ghost, I know you. I know you because I know you. I've got it. I've got it. I hear you. And over the weekend, I told you stories of things, of being in meetings and crusades and being in different services where I was called upon. And I didn't think I had anything in the natural, but I would step over by faith because I know you. I've got it. And God would fill my mouth. There's something that I want to talk about. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Whoo, glory. Are you guys getting something? All right. You know I still look like I'm 30, but I've actually been in the ministry for 30 years. I've been preaching some weeks, I'll preach up to 15 times a week. I mean, it's just like, dear me. But it's just, it's what I'm called to do. It's my life. But one thing that I love more than anything in life is staying vertical with him and learning and growing in my relationship with him. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, go there with me, chapter 14. Yesterday afternoon, the Spirit of God was dealing with me to just talk for just a couple of minutes about something that you guys already know. And it ties in with what John 14:17 says, that you know the Spirit of God. You know him. You know him. You know, as you're right there, just stay right there. But in John 16, it talks about how that Jesus said when he was on the earth, he said, it's expedient for you that I hurry up and get out of here, because there's somebody that's coming after me. See, Jesus prophesied about the Holy Spirit. We don't need to leave him out because he's in us. Look at your neighbor and say, the Spirit of God is in you. He's in us. And we know him. Did you know that there is a language of the Spirit? You guys have been taught. There's a language of the Spirit. Brother Hagin, let me just quote this, if I can find it real quickly, how Dad would say this. Let me see if I've got it right here in my notes. But he would talk and he would say certain phrases, and this is what he would say. The best way to get into condition spiritually so you can hear the Lord is to pray in tongues. Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit came just like Jesus prophesied that he was going to come before he had paid the price for our sin. Acts chapter 2, Holy Ghost came. And they all begin to speak in an unknown tongue. They begin to speak and pray in an unknown tongue. Since we've been in the church world, some of us for a while, we pray in tongues, but I think some of us have forgotten the power that's in praying in tongues. Praying in the Spirit is the language of the Spirit. You don't have to understand it with your natural mind, But you as a spirit being has a language. And it's that of speaking in an unknown tongue. And when you speak in an unknown tongue, what I love about it is that though I might not understand in my head what's going on, I'll keep praying, and before I know it, revelation will come right up out of my innermost being, and I will get understanding on things. How many of you have done that before? There's nothing like praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit. Look at your neighbor and say, please pray in the Spirit. It's vital that we pray in an unknown tongue. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understand him, howbeit in the Spirit he's speaking mysteries. So when I pray in an unknown tongue, I'm speaking unto God. So then that means that when I pray in tongues, I need to believe that I'm talking to him. I've heard some people say, oh, sometimes you can have adult prayer time. And yes, your flesh can be tired and weary and sleepy, and you'll have adult prayer time. What you put into your prayer time is what you will get. So in other words, I know we've all done this at some point. You might have done this. Maybe you're holier than me. But you are praying by yourself in the Spirit. And you're going, Ore sikiro ramara devigi shalamara. Now there's nothing wrong with that, okay? Give him what you got, all right? But I made a decision a long time ago. I'm not going to pray that way. I sure am not going to do that. Because I'm speaking to God. And he is the highest. He is the supreme. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is my God. He is the reason for my existence. He's the reason why I live. And I am going to give him all of my attention, even when I don't feel like it. Have you ever heard a statement, fake it till you make it? Keith Moore is the one I heard that from years ago. And you know, how many times have you had to fake, I hate to put it this way, but you had to put on love like the Bible says. You're running a quick errand. You've got just a few moments. You run into a store. I'm going to run in, going to run out. And then all of a sudden, Brother John's there. And Brother John always has a great revelation. And he always wants to share it with you. And it always takes anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes for him to get to the end. Am I telling too much? And you had to put it on by faith when you saw him, because you wanted to duck and run. And so you looked, he caught your eyes, you caught his. There's no escape, honey. I, of course, never have done this, you know. Are you kidding? I live in Ramaville. I'm in one of the instructors in Over Prayer School. If I don't want to greet, see people I know, I've got to go out of town to go shopping. I'm telling off on myself. So anyway, you'll put it on because you love that person. You're in a hurry, but it's just like, oh, well. And you'll stand there and you'll start talking with, oh, yeah. Glory to God. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And on the inside, you're thinking, tick tock, tick tock. But you're like, shh. Yeah. And before you know it, you're engrossed in the conversation because you love that person. But you had to put it on first. You know, sometimes when we're praying, you got to put things on. In other words, when I pray in the Spirit, I put my personality into it. He know me already, so why not be me? I put myself into it. I put my heart into it. And I go after it. So when I'm in my prayer closet or in my prayer time in the car or wherever I'm at, I'm not just going, oh, I'm going, no, I'm speaking in my prayer language, the voice of my spirit, to my heavenly Father. And I know that when I pray in tongues, it edifies me, because you guys know all this. It edifies me, it improves me, it refreshes me. In Isaiah 28, it said it refreshes. I mean, are you kidding me? And then over in the Word, it talks about it. How in Jude, it builds me up. Why aren't we praying in tongues more? It's just goofy to me, don't you think? If it does all these supernatural things, why aren't we praying in the Spirit and using our faith with it? And going after it on purpose, so that when I talk to him, I'm not just gonna go, no. Even when I'm tired, I can put it on in faith. Joyce Myers tells a story about how she stopped by these people's house. They didn't know she was coming. And she said she could hear the couple arguing. I mean, they were fighting, cats and dog, mad, mean. And she said, I just stood there for a minute, just listened. She said, then I knocked on the door. The husband just kept yelling, and he's the one that opened the door. And when he saw me, he was like, oh, hi, Miss Joyce, how are you? That's called putting it on when you don't feel like it, and you've been a dirty dog in that house talking to your wife. But it's amazing how we can change us if we want to. Let's not preach too much on that. But we can speak and do things. We can put things on. We can, you know what I'm saying? So when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, now there's just a couple of things I want to get to here. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, it shouldn't be something that's a drudgery or, it should be, Father, here I come. I worship you. And I thank you that right now when I pray in the Holy Ghost, I pray out your plan, whatever you desire done. I'm here to magnify you. I thank you that when I pray in tongues, I edify myself. I improve myself. I thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. It builds me up. I worship you, Father. And I'm just going to pray in the Spirit right now. Oh, brosikila mashe gedizi bramato brabaste. Oh, rushki manganumene siri. Elebrisi prapasso dor supremacy. It's a Basha Brenna Daisy, it's a Dashka Dorja Fu, and it's a Bashta Brapasala, and he's a greasy Krellisu, and Abusor Zalavasha Sina Mahaya Race Zila Day, and it's a God Grows a Dorsta, it's a Basi Previsi da Basta Day, and I will Solosa Dobu Bava Deli Greasy Prove a Night, and I will Zablasso Bona as a Breezy Promicide. No, you say, well, it sounds like you could even say what you said in English. Now, I could if I wanted to. But I don't need to. That was just between me and him. But what was I doing right there? I put my faith in believing that when I speak in an unknown tongue, I'm talking to him, and I just went for it. I put on my best, and I went into his presence. I didn't take, you know, because I know I prayed in my pajamas a lot of times. It doesn't matter what you look like outside, you know, just look holy. But if you're at home by yourself, who cares? Are you with me? He just wants you to come boldly into the throne of grace. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Usually I preach so much about these different things, but I'm just giving highlights here because I want you to catch something here. The more I realized that John chapter 14, verse 17 was true, I begin to pray different. Holy Ghost, I know you because I know you. I hear you. I see you. I follow you. Jesus said, I know you because I know you. I pray effectively because your spirit lives on the inside of me. Holy Spirit, you're in me. Oh, I know you. You dwell in me. See, you start talking the word, it won't be long to where you start believing that you know him. In every circumstance, in every situation, not just in your personal, just not when you're in church, and everything is so anointed and everything's going and rocking. But when you're at home, you can rock in your own world, in your relationship with him. Right, guys? You know, there's a scripture that is one of my favorite ones to preach on. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It's a verse that says that the Spirit, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, like Dad Hagen would always say, now that what does it say there? The Holy Ghost is not going to do the praying for you. He helps you. See, some denominational Pentecostal folk like myself, we were wrong. The Holy Ghost helps you. Have you ever noticed throughout the word that God never pushed or made anybody do anything? He didn't even make Jesus come down and pay the price. Jesus could have called on legions of angels at any time to get out of here. God wasn't making him do it. Jesus willingly did it. Our God does not push, does not make us do anything, but who does is the devil. He pushes, right? But in this scripture right here, it says that the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us is here to help us pray. When we don't know how to pray like we should. How many of you ever been praying about something and it seemed like you weren't getting the answers? And then you started praying in the Spirit and some light began to come to you. Revelation. We don't need to stop early. We need to go after it. God wants us to live a supernatural life. And to live this supernatural life as believers that know the word, we need to pray in the Spirit and pray out his word, pray out his plan by speaking in an unknown tongue and really believing that the voice of your spirit is that of speaking in an unknown tongue and value the fact that you can speak in an unknown tongue. It's the most supernatural thing. But we take it for granted because we get too easy and laid back and get too comfortable. Guys, no. Praying in the Holy Ghost is something that is supposed to energize us. But yet we're so tired, we'll just go to sleep. And it's not even time to go to sleep. Are you with me? What happens when you pray in an unknown tongue? It edifies you, it builds you up, it improves you. Why aren't we doing it more? And then when you've prayed all you know to pray in English about a situation and you just feel like, no, I need, there's a little bit more. There's something else there. Then you pray in tongues. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, he helps you. You'll begin to speak in tongues and you'll even begin to articulate in different kinds of tongues at times. Different sounds and languages will begin to flow out of you the more you yield to him. Are you with me? I love the translations here of this particular verse, and I'm going to read it. It's called the Richard translation. You're not left to your own devices, for the divine spirit aids you in every situation in life. For example, when believers do not know how to pray appropriately about a matter, listen to this. When believers don't know how to pray appropriately about a matter, the Holy Spirit, as we pray in an unknown tongue, translates our inarticulate thoughts and puts it in a perfectly acceptable form before our Father. How many of you have ever prayed so much and you're just like, I don't have any more words to say? Or you've worshiped God and you're like, I don't have any more words. So I can't think of anything else. Oh, God. And then worship him in tongues because he'll take every inarticulate thought you have and put it into a perfect example, appropriate. Let me read it exactly how it's worded. It says that he'll translate every inarticulate thought that you have and put it into a perfect, acceptable form before our Father. Are you kidding me? Supernatural power that's on the inside of you. Now this translation, it's out of print, but it's called the Carpenter's Translation. You're not left alone. The Holy Spirit teaches us to use the discipline of life. And when we pray in an unknown tongue, the translation says, it bridges the gap between the present and the future. Are you with me? When I pray in an unknown tongue, let's say I'm praying about my future. I'm praying about, God, what's your plan for my life? I don't know about you. There's a lot that God's got for Jerry and me in our future. And in my soul, I don't know everything. But the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of me, he's the great revealer. He knows. And when I pray in an unknown tongue, revelation will begin to come. So when I pray in an unknown tongue, it bridges the gap between the present here right now. I'm standing in Nanuet, New York. A year from now, I don't know where I'm going to be. I just know I'm going to be in the will of God. But when I pray in an unknown tongue, it bridges the gap between the present and the future. One example, and then we'll be done. I knew in my life that I wasn't going to get married. After I graduated from Rhema, God said, you're going to get married, but it's in the distant future. I was 19, 20 when I graduated. And I thought, 25 is great. 30 came. Are you kidding me? Come on, Lord. Where's he at? And I had to get in faith about it. That's why you need to get that series, because I don't want to get into all of that. But I would pray in the Holy Ghost for my husband. I did not know him, didn't see his face. But I would pray in the Spirit for him. Honey, stand up. You stay right there. Now, years before he approached my life, there would be times that I knew I needed to pray in the Spirit for my future. And then I would start praying because, see, when I pray in tongues, it bridges the gap between the present time that I'm in to my future. And it causes God's plan, don't move yet, causes God's plan to come into my life. So why do we even need to pray in tongues? Why can't God just make it happen? Because this is how things are set up. If you want his plan for your life, you've got to go after it. You've got to use your faith. And he's given us his Spirit who lives on the inside of us to help us get to everything that we're supposed to have in life and not allow the enemy to rule over us. There are some ladies that I used to pray with all the time when we were single, and they were older than me and they were believing God for their husband, but they would walk in and out of faith, in and out of faith. And I would talk to him and teach him and try to help him because, man, I used to say, I can smell my husband. Come on. I couldn't smell it in the natural. Are you kidding me? I was just by faith speaking it, being funny, but I speaking it. I could see him by faith, and I would talk about it, but I would pray in the Holy Ghost concerning it. I want heaven's plan. I don't want the wrong ones, and boy, were there wrong ones that came along the path. But as I started after it in faith, see what's happening? A few years stop, and I'm busy doing stuff, but I'm just declaring, my husband is on my path, and I'm in faith. And bridging the gap as I pray in tongues. What's happening? The bridge is getting little. The timing is approaching. Woo, baby. Hallelujah. He showed up. I know it's funny, but that's how it happened. When you pray in the Spirit about your life, about your future, you're bridging the gap between this present world to your future. God has destiny. He has divine plans for your life. You know the Spirit of God. Stand up and live within your rights. Live out of what the Word says you are. Pray from places of faith. Stand and sing and rejoice because you know the King of Kings. Come on now. Woo! When you pray in the Spirit, you bridge the gap. Devil doesn't have any dominion over you unless you give it. If you start thinking his thoughts, well, I was abused when I was little, and I went through this, and I went through that, and I'm not saying I don't have compassion and love for you, but rise up. I could have been like other people that grieved loved ones and could still be grieving and be miserable in my grief. Are you with me? But because of the words that came out of my mouth, Dad's happy, I'm happy. And I was a daddy's girl. Are you kidding? You see a picture of him, you see me. Daddy's girl. Talk to him every day. I call my mom and dad every day. Every day. People think that might be goofy, but I don't care. I love my mom and dad. Even when I got married, I still called mom and dad every day. It might just be, hi, how you doing? Everything going all right? All right. Might be just, I just want to hear your voice, tell you I love you. And then there'd be long conversations because my daddy liked to preach. So I was a daddy's girl. So if anybody was going to grieve, are you kidding me? If I did what my soul wanted to do, I just wanted to crawl right up there in the coffin and say, okay, shut it, let's all go. Boom. But the thing about it was, he wasn't even there. He's not even laying in that coffin. I looked at him a couple times and was like, yeah, it ain't Dad. He even looked pretty. I mean, even the people that fixed him up for the funeral and everything was like, man, your daddy's handsome. Yeah, I mean, they just couldn't get over how pretty he was. They should have seen him when he was alive. But I just couldn't. I was just like, no, it's not him. He's not there anymore. He's already in heaven, and I can't wait. I'm going to be there. I'm not going to go before my time, but I'm going. And so I'm going to fulfill kingdom business, and I'm going to do what God's called me to do while I'm in the earth, and I'm not going to live in grief and not fulfill the mandate that he's placed upon me. Because you have to run the race. Amen? How many of you have dealt with this, and you finally came to the conclusion, I've got to obey God? The words that you speak, God has a plan for your life. He has a plan. Oh, Jesus. I could keep going forever, but I'm not going to. I'm going to say one last line of this verse. The Holy Spirit bridges the life here in this natural world into the eternal world. Did you hear that? The Holy Spirit that lives in us is the one that bridges the gap between this life and the eternal world. So when I pray in the Spirit, Ora masikra mangele brogostorava. Ora manesilia mangolo brebiririvisuraman brebiririvai. Jobro mambo celebrisi crada dana stede day. Ora mangulu vrikishke la manda brigade stay. I'm living in the Spirit. I'm living from this new wine. Living in the Spirit, and boy, is it divine. I'm living out of the overflow of heaven above. Praying in the Spirit causes me to see things from above. Well, where did that come from? Ora mangele brepisa la mondele de. Well, Leanne, you're a singer. Oh, Leanne, you're a preacher. No, I'm just like you. I'm a believer. And as believers, we pray in an unknown tongue. We'll worship and magnify God. It'll bridge the gap between the present and the future. It will cause those things. How many of you, God has given you vision for things? And maybe some of them haven't come to pass. Are you with me? Maybe they haven't come to pass. And I don't know about you, I've had a tendency to want to get weary about it. But I found that when I speak, I know a verse that Pastor Sarah and I were talking about yesterday that she loves, Habakkuk chapter 2. Write the vision down. Write that vision down. There is, and you wait for it, because there is appointed time that it's going to happen. It's going to be seen, and you won't even have to tell everybody, look, they're going to see it. Guys, you are a spiritual being because you have a spiritual God, and that God lives on the inside of you, and he has destiny for your life. He's got such a plan for you, and the vision that he's placed on the inside of you, it shall come to pass as you continue to contend and bridge the gap between this present world and the future by speaking in an unknown tongue, and you do it in faith, because you know that when you speak in tongues, you're speaking to God, not man, and you go after it, and it's the voice of your spirit, and so you put your heart into it, and you pray from that place. I know the Holy Ghost, and because I know him, he lives in me, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and I'm going to pray in faith and bring the very plan of God to pass in my life. Whew. How many of you know we got to bridge the gap? We got to bridge the gap. And how do we bridge the gap? By praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's stand for a moment. Whew, you guys made me preach. Whew. Did you get something, though, is the question. I know it's truth that you already know. But how many of you know, when I said this the other day, that when you've got revelation on something, when you hear it again, whoo, you can't wait to keep hearing it. Whoo! And if you didn't feel that way when you heard the message today, we'll pray for you at the altar. Because it just means you don't have revelation of it yet. Oh, God. And that's why we pray the Ephesian prayers, chapter 1. God, I pray for spirit of wisdom and revelation. We don't want to be like that servant that wasn't seeing. No, 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 no. We want to see how Elisha saw. Whew. Our eyes are open and we see into the Spirit. Amen. You guys are an awesome church. You guys kept pulling on me. I know you guys had to be tired. You need to shake a little bit. I tell you what, you guys kept pulling, and as you pulled, the Spirit of God spoke. Aren't you thankful for the anointing? Oh, hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands up and worship him. Father, we worship you in this house. We worship you. We give you glory in this place. What a great God you are. What a great God you are that you gave us your Spirit. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you. We glorify you. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, thank you. We're so glad that you live in us. We're so glad that we know you. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah. Now, guys, with every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, I just want to ask a question. Is there anybody in this house? Close your eyes. It's nobody else's business. That your prayer language is just not what it ought to be. Or you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue. I want us to do a little bit of an exercise in God today. And before we hit that, if there's somebody in here that's not born again and doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, are you here? We'll pray for you if you want to receive him. Is there anybody here? I'm looking for hands right now. I know some of you are worshiping. If you're worshiping, wave your hand at me so I know you're worshiping. All right, all right. Okay. So I don't see anybody here that wants to receive Jesus. That means we're probably all here, already know him, because there's no way you could be here and not want him. But maybe you're here and your prayer language isn't what it ought to be. Maybe you're here and you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Nobody's looking around. Eyes are closed. I'm here. I'm looking. If you're here and you want your prayer language to increase in your life, lift your hand up real high. Saying, I just need, yep, I see those hands. I see them. Uh-huh. Yep, 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 yep. Okay. Awesome. Quite a few hands that went up. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to do this all together. Is that okay if I do it that way? We're going to do this all together. Let's all say this prayer together. Holy Spirit, I'm so thankful that the word is true. Father God, I'm so thankful that you sent your son Jesus, and he's redeemed us. And then Jesus said that when he left the earth, that the Holy Spirit was going to come. And I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit has come. And he has the right to live in me. Holy Spirit, I ask you to live in me with the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue. I'm so glad that I can speak in an unknown tongue unto God. And I can do it daily. I can worship you in an unknown tongue daily. I can bridge the gap from my present life to what you have for me in my future by speaking in an unknown tongue. I get edified. I improve my life. I build myself up by speaking in an unknown tongue. So I fully receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So right now, let's begin to speak. Go ahead. Receive, begin to speak, all of us in the house. Yeah. Yeah. And I speak increase on your prayer language. For those that have been not having a fluent prayer life, we speak increase right now. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, that's it, guys. Yeah, praying in faith. Yes, ila mambre bebeshta. Oh, rababali brisi sitele mastono. Oh, hallelujah. Guys, let's just lift our hands and shout. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Woo. Hallelujah. 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 Keith Moore wrote a song by the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost, building up myself. You guys heard it? Praying in the Holy Ghost, building up myself. Praying in the Holy Ghost, building up myself. Speaking in an unknown tongue. Guys, whoo, pray in the Holy Ghost. Another verse is mysteries unknown. What's unknown? The future. So when I pray in tongues, it bridges the gap between the now and then. Causes your man to come into your life. Causes that house that you're believing him for. It causes his plan and his destiny for your life to be seen, and you're able to walk it out. And what I love more than anything, I know the Holy Ghost. My head might not understand, but I'm not going to hook my mouth up to my head. Because 1 John 2:20 says, I've got an unction. Another song. I've got an unction from the Holy One. The Bible says you've got an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You're a know-it-all. Do you know it all in your head? No. How many of you know some know-it-alls that think they do know it all in their head? But where we know it is in our spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows everything. He's got it. He's got it. And as long as you keep your mouth tied to him and by the word, you'll have the very supernatural workings of God in your life. Just because my daddy went to heaven is not going to mean I'm going to stop living and fulfilling the race and the call that is on me. Though I wanted to, boy, did I but I spoke out of my mouth what I believed. I'm going to run my race. I'm going to do all that God's called me to do. He's only in glory and I'm going to be there soon. And so I don't have to worry and fret and have anxiety over anything, but I'm going to trust and rely upon the greater one who lives on the inside of me, and I'm going to run my race, and I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to fulfill what God's called me to do in this day. How many of you can say amen? You're going to do it too. Woo! All right. I better sit down or I'm going to preach another message. God bless you guys. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Glory to God.